Alrighty, folks, it is time now for the General Knowledge Podcast. Make sure you grab yourself a nice cool beverage. Sit back and enjoy this show. We've got Jeff Hodges from the Civil Liberties, Consumer Rights and No Tolls Party joining us this evening. I've got, of course, my colleague in arms here, Andy, is with us this evening. Andy, how are you going, mate?
Very good, thanks, Lee. I haven't got a beer, I've got a kombucha. It's all about bodily health, mate.
Yeah, true. Well, tonight, actually, I'm beerless for the month of January, so I'm just sticking to water and the odd scotch here and there. But anyway, it's just my taste. But we are, mate. This is episode 10. We're recording tonight. No Ethan with us this evening. We did episode 9 last night, which was an awesome show. So that went up live today. I managed to publish that one, and this will most likely go up. If I can get it done tonight, I will. Otherwise, it'll be tomorrow afternoon. I'll get this one up for everyone. But yeah, episode 10, mate. We're recording, Andy. I can't believe it's been 10 already. We've done pretty good. We've got over 1,000 downloads now for the podcast. So it's getting out there. We've got fans all around the world, in fact. So it's going really well. And tonight, it is fantastic, yeah.
We tell you, we'll be running past Channel 9 very soon. I think that they must only have a couple of thousand viewers, like for a nightly broadcast.
Sure, yeah, or about as much as the Murdoch papers are getting their readership too. Yeah, it's probably about the same at the moment. episode 10, and tonight, like I said, we've got Jeffrey Hodges from the Civil Liberties, Consumer Rights and No Tolls Party. Jeff, how are you going, mate?
I'm well, thank you, Lee. Andy?
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, great to have you on.
Pleasure. And my girlfriend makes her own kombucha and water kefir. So I'm familiar with your beverage there, Andy. So congratulations. Yeah. It's very good to have those fermented drinks. They're really good for
absolutely.
The bowel.
Yeah, good for gut health.
Yeah, that's right.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah. Nah, that's great.
Excellent. Good to see you.
We could talk about gut health instead of toll roads, I suppose.
Yeah, well, first things first, we might just... we'll do that on episode 11. Talk about gut health with Jeffrey. but for this one, mate, let's tell the listeners a little bit about Jeff, who you are, how you got started with this party, what it's all about. Please, mate, enlighten us to who Jeffrey Hodges is.
Okay, well, basically, I got pissed off with the tolls, and I started an organization called No Tolls back in 2012, and I just thought that it was ridiculous that we're paying money to a private corporation, and none of the money, as you probably know, is actually going back into government or to the roads, whereas most people are under the mistaken impression that the tolls they pay actually go to support roads and road funding and road repair. None of the money you pay in tolls actually goes to roads. It all goes to this multinational corporation called Transurban that doesn't pay any tax at all in Australia. So I got really annoyed with that, and I thought, okay, I'm going to form an organization called No Tolls and we'll fight it. And I stood as a candidate down in Logan for the Queensland state election, which I think was back in 2014 or 13 or something like that. And then I stood for Brisbane Lord Mayor on the No Tolls policy, and then I stood for the Queensland election last time again. So in addition to after a couple of years of just working on No Tolls, I thought that people would consider it just a one policy party, and so we expanded it to include civil liberties issues such as getting the fluoride out of our water. You know, fluoride is a mandated substance that is put in our water that, you know, no one really has the right to do to you.
Mandated medical treatment, basically.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Which is totally against all human rights under the UN situation. Not that I support the UN in any way whatsoever, but we should not have forced medication of any kind. People should have the right to say no to any kind of medication, whether it's fluoride or forced, flu shots or whatever they want to do. So we're also wanting to establish a state-owned people's bank again. We want to, keep essential services in state ownership and control, not just the roads, but our power stations, our water supplies. We want to protect civil liberties and free speech. We want to ban genetically modified organisms because it's really bad for the environment and particularly for human health. We want to cut politicians' wages. We want to help our young kids get through education without having a $50,000 to $100,000 debt. You know, I don't know whether whether you guys went to uni, but I went to university back in 1978, and we were supported by the government. If you were good enough to get into university and if you were good enough to keep progressing, you were supported by the government with a scheme called Tertiary Education Assistance Scheme, TEAS. And that helped our young people, including myself, get a degree. I wouldn't have been able to afford it without that. And now we're forcing our young people to go into debts of like $100,000 before they even get a job. It's ridiculous, you know. So those are some of the things that we want to make sure we don't have any GST or Medicare levy increase. In fact, we want to replace all taxes with a single bank debit tax. We would get more money for the services that we need to provide for by government if we just had something simple like a 1 or 2% bank debit tax and everyone paid it, no exceptions. You'd get more money than they get now from all the GST and income tax combined. Do you know that?
Wow, no, I didn't. I wasn't aware of that. And yeah. just elaborate on that a little bit. What do you exactly mean by that?
So by bank debit tax, I mean simply it's a tax on every time you spend money, you pay 1%. So there's no tax on savings. So there's an incentive for people to save money and a disincentive for people to spend money. But if they do spend money, every time they spend money, they pay a tax. 1% of whatever it is. So we get rid of all the GST. Yeah. So there's no GST. There's no income tax. Imagine that. Imagine no income tax. How much time and money would save, mate? You know.
Didn't John Hewson like 20 years ago start something like that? Was that
he already?
I know there's some
introduced
taxes
a bank
being
tax,
like,
but he didn't replace it with. He also included. He still kept the income tax, etc. So,
okay.
And he made it only for certain people, etc. You know, so the thing is that in relation to tax, we've got a situation where the wealthy are not paying nothing or no tax. You know, as you know, 50% of the major corporations are not paying any tax at all.
Yeah.
And I saw an interesting statistic the other day, got it from the ABC. Qatar produces natural gas, as does Australia, and they produce about the same amount of natural gas as we do here in Australia. For our natural gas, we get about $1 billion a year in royalties. Qatar gets $26 billion a year in royalties for about the same amount of natural gas. So we're getting $25 billion less in royalties for our natural gas. And people say to me, oh, well, how are we going to pay for our roads if we don't charge tolls? Well, there you go. $25 billion a year would give us the best road systems in the world, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, absolutely.
So, and that's just one company. That's just one company, Chevron, that doesn't pay any tax and is a multi-billion dollar industry, you know. So that's some of our policies, you know. I have been I founded the party, and we had eight candidates at the last Queensland election, and we're hoping to stand candidates again for the federal election coming up. So that's a bit about myself and the party. I've got a degree in science and environmental science. Apart from that, I think that's about all you need to know about me.
Yeah, so you're definitely an educated guy, and you seem to be knowing a lot about what you're talking about, and some really good ideas there as well that I think most of us could probably get on board with. I mean, everyone, you know, I'm sort of the belief that taxation is theft. That's sort of a motto that I sort of, you know, agree with.
Absolutely.
Really.
Absolutely, man.
And I know that nations that have, I can't remember who off by heart, but some have even tried doing a voluntary tax, which fails, you know. So if they're going to have it, they've got to have it. If they don't, if they're not going to have it, then you shouldn't have it at all. You can't have a voluntary one because no one will pay it, or very, 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 very minimal people will pay it.
Yeah.
But yeah, look, I mean, that seems reasonable enough to me. Yeah, 1% of a transaction that you when you spend money. But do you think
it's an excellent idea?
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. I do think I'm trying to play devil's advocate here. But what about? Do you think that that could have a negative effect on economic growth if people aren't spending much money because they're thinking it's going to cost them more?
Well, the thing is, we'd get rid of the GST. See, so automatically you'd give people more money in their wallet, and you'd have no income tax. So, you know, what would you rather be paying, 30% of your income, or 1% every time you spend some money?
Yeah, good. I just wanted you to sort of just to clarify that once again for everyone as well, because I think that's sort of key to that working is that you remind people that you're no longer paying, you know, a minimum of what 33 or around 33 cents in the dollar on your tax, or 32 cents, you know, in tax on your income, and you're not paying the 10% of everything that you're buying of GST. That's becomes abolished, and it's simply 1% of the cost of the goods, I'm guessing, that you're referring to. That's what it is, yeah?
Correct.
Yep, awesome. Yep, to me that sounds like a pretty good idea.
I mean, and I think it's absolutely brilliant. Like,
there you go.
Lane Hansen, there's a few others that have sort of touched on it, but, you know, like everyone's too scared. It's a very, you know, like it'd be the biggest political hot potato in like if anyone tried to implement it. But it's absolutely
the corporations don't want it.
Brilliant. Because, of course they don't, no.
Yeah. Because, see, all the corporations are paying no tax. And if they had to pay tax, most of the spending that happens in the country is obviously spent by corporations. So, you know, all the tax would be coming from the corporations rather than from the people, which is what is happening at the moment.
Mm, interesting.
Yeah, but it would still only be 1% of bastards.
I know. I mean, and who could object to that?
Because they're still paying GST, aren't they? You know what I mean? Like,
well,
when a company or a business is purchasing stuff, you know,
But then they
claim it, yeah, but...
They claim it back, see, so it's like take it with one hand, give it back with the other.
yeah, true. Interesting. All right, well, for example, here I've made a bit of a note that the toll roads, now I'm not sure if it's the Logan Motorway or if it's all of them in general, but Transurban or Link T, they've got that lease now until, what, 2051 or something?
2051.
Yeah. So how, say you're in power and say your party's in power, how can that be cancelled? Can that be stopped by the will of the people? Or like, how do we change that?
Look, people say, oh, it can't be done, you know, it can't be done. But look, come on, man. You know, they brought down the Berlin Wall. If they can bring down the Berlin Wall with a bit of political will, we can take back our roads, for Pete's sake. You know, the easiest way to undermine Transurban is to take away the legitimacy of their tolling. And by that I mean stop making non-payment of tolls an infringement. You know, why should non-payment of tolls be a traffic offence in the first place?
Mm.
It's not like driving through a red light where you can hit someone and kill someone, is it? But the reason that everyone pays their tolls, you know, when they go through those toll gantries, etc., and a little tag goes beep or whatever it does, there goes another $6 or whatever. The only reason people do that is because if they don't, the government will come down on you like a lead weight and give you a traffic offence and say, you know, you're going to pay your toll, otherwise we're going to fine you, etc., blah, blah, blah. So if there was no government fining, if there was no government backup for Transurban, how could they stop? How could they make people pay the tolls? People just wouldn't pay it, and Transurban would go broke. So my solution or answer to that question is how are we going to get our roads back? Is just basically, hey, don't make tolls an infringement anymore. Don't keep supporting this private company that is basically paying no tax in Australia and is charging us to drive on roads that we already owned and that were promised by Bjelke Petersen. Do you know that on the 18th of December last year, the Logan Motorway was supposed to have been freed from all tolls? That was 30 years. Bjelke Petersen promised it back in 1988. It was opened on the 18th of December 1988. So 30 years, that was the 18th of December 2018. It should have gone back to the people. But before that, Anna Palaszczuk, end of 2016, because they knew it was coming up to be free again, they did a deal with Transurban. They said to them, okay, widen the road, you know, the Logan Motorway, for $512 million, and we will give you the tolling rights for another 32 years. So you've got to understand, right, that that Logan Motorway is earning over $400 million a year.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Why would any government...
What a shit deal.
Why would any government with an ounce of sense or with any concern for travelling Queenslanders, motorists in Queensland, East Queensland, why would they do a deal that let the company get, for $512 million, 32 years of earning $400 million a year? You know, all they had to do was to basically, you know, toll it themselves for a year and a half and they would have paid for the widening of the road.
Yeah, why absolutely. Give Transurban?
The reason is that they Transurban is a corrupt company. They have, it's on public record that they've bribed both Democrats and Republicans in the United States, and they do the same here. They basically give money to the ALP and money to the LNP. That's why Transurban also did a deal with the Brisbane City Council, which is controlled by the LNP, Liberal National Party, right? They did a deal with the Brisbane City Council to do some widening of the inner city bypass. Okay, how do they manage that? How do they finagle that? They're charging everyone else who drives on the other toll roads in Brisbane extra money in order to pay for this widening. How's that? They talk about it being a user pay system. You don't even use the road, you've got to pay for it.
Yeah, it is
ridiculous.
It's mind-boggling. It literally is mind-boggling how they get away with this. This obviously isn't just in Brisbane, is it, Jeff? This Transurban operates in other states in Australia, am I correct?
It operates in New South Wales and it operates in Melbourne. It started in Melbourne, and even Jeff Kennett, who was the premier at the time when it all started with the toll link or City Link, what it was down in Melbourne. He was the one side. Even he has now said that it's a waste of public funds because the money's going to this private company. Do you know that Scott Charlton, CEO of Transurban, is on a salary package of $6.9 million a year? Maybe it's even more now. That was a year ago.
Wow.
And all the other senior executives of Transurban are on multi-million dollar a year salary packages. They employ no Australians. Some Australians, but most of their call center is in the Philippines. They pay no tax in Australia because they've finagled it so that they're always in an acquisition mode, which means that they can forego any tax for this year because they basically write it off as acquisition. They're still buying stuff. And the plan is to toll the Ipswich Motorway next. That's coming next. You know, we've got inside information about that is coming, and that comes from an insider in Transurban themselves. So...
Imagine tolling you all the way through to Toowoomba before you know it.
Exactly. And also the Sunshine Coast Motorway again, and this new
upgrade. Oh, I've heard about that one. Yeah, I've heard about that. Was it around Coolum or something? They want to do one. Is it around?
Well,
there?
It used to be the Sunshine up here on the Sunshine Coast. There was a toll road, and we actually finally got rid of it. Back in 96, I think it was.
Right.
I remember that.
But see, the thing is, you know, if we don't stand up and fight these things now, they will continue to sprout like bloody cancers. See, and they use the excuse that, oh, well, we can't afford it. We can't afford it, you know. But what about the other states? There's no tolls in Tasmania. There's no tolls in Northern Territory. No tolls in WA. No tolls in South Australia. No tolls in the ACT. How come just in these three states, Queensland, New South Wales and Victoria, where Transurban basically bribes, you know, ALP and LNP politicians, and that's what you'd call it. What else would you call these political donations that they make?
Yeah, it's bribery, you know, sure.
You know, what's the difference between a political donation and a bribe, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, in America, they were caught out because they weren't allowed to, foreign companies can't make donations to political parties over there, so they were caught out over there. But you know, paying off politicians in Australia is just called doing business in Queensland, you know? It's ridiculous. And so one of the principles of our party is that we don't accept political donations. You know, because once you accept political donations, you know, you get corrupted.
You're at the whim of the corporation. Andy, do you have something to say?
Sorry.
Oh, look, I'm just, Jeff, like, you've told us that, like, the actual revenue for, what is it, the Logan Motorway is
Logan Motorway
million
alone is over $400 million a year.
So what's the actual lease term, like, annual lease term that this company Transurban pays to the state government?
Nothing. They just paid $512 million to widen the roads. They agreed to widen the roads and pay for the cost of widening the road. And for
just like they're not even paying rent on the road, you know, that they're
that's
leasing.
That's right. That's absolutely right, man.
So, is this, I mean, I'm just like...
It blows you away, doesn't it, Andy? It fucking blows you away.
So if I leased a warehouse, like, for my business, I'd be paying a monthly rent, wouldn't I?
Absolutely.
Of course I would be.
But you don't give donations to the ALP or LNP, mate. Come on.
but if you promised to upgrade that warehouse and made a deal with the owner to not pay rent for the entire, you know, for the next 30 years on that warehouse, then you'll be right.
Maybe.
That's incredible. Like,
it
so,
is, isn't it?
So
see, and it... Go on.
There's been a company change. So Transurban have taken over from that other mob.
Queensland
Motorways. It was called Queensland Motorways Corporation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was still a private company, like, from what I gather.
It was a state-owned
business. Is that what they call it?
State-owned business, something like that. I don't know the technical terms because there's so much sleazy, slimy, you know, dealings going on.
That's kind of the height of fascism right there, because you've got the state and business, you know, one, the state is running a business. Like, it shouldn't be that way. It's
absolutely,
you know what I mean? Anyway, sorry, go on, Andy.
Absolutely not.
So Transurban took over from GoVia, and let's just say even it's like a partial, like, government operated thing there. So, like, what was their skin in the game? What was Transurban's entry price to actually, like, take over that business then?
Yeah,
I would have thought it would have to be millions and millions of dollars. Like, they would have had to pay the state government.
I can't remember what they paid, but it was a pittance compared to how much money they're earning. See, what really irks me is the fact that the Logan Motorway originally only cost $140 million to build.
Wow.
$140 million, right? It's earning over $400 million per year. But not only that, we were promised by the then Premier, Bjelke Petersen, and Russ Hinds, the main roads minister, that when the tolls were paid off, it would be free. You know, so what right does another government have to come in? You know, the people of southeast Queensland, the people particularly around the Logan area, they've been paying tolls for 30 years. Some people are paying $70 to $100 a week and more compared to someone on the north side who doesn't pay any tolls at all to drive around where they've got to go.
Yeah.
The people in Logan, southern suburbs of Brisbane, who have to use that Logan motorway, they're paying an extra $70, $100, $150 a week just to get to work. This is unfair and unjust. You know. Likewise, Gateway Bridge, $183 million to build in the first place. It's now earning, again, about $380 million a year. And it's been going 32 years. So last week, on the 11th of January, was the 32nd anniversary of the opening of the Gateway Bridge. So again, that's something that should have been free. You know. Now, what really irks me is the deafening silence of the RACQ on this issue. And one of the reasons that I suspect, because back in about 7 years ago, the then president of the RACQ, Julianne Schaefer, came out with a strong statement against toll roads, but ever since then, there's been nothing. And I suspect that the RACQ has also got some kind of deal with Transurban, because Transurban had done a series of advertisements in their RACQ magazine. I mean, why isn't the RACQ up in arms about this? It's supposed to stand up for motorists. It's supposed to be the premier, motoring organisation in Queensland. Bullshit.
Yeah. And everyone's paying their dues to this company. We're all members. I mean, not all of us, but with so many members.
They're not standing up. They're not standing up. And this is something that is irks me, because there's something fishy happening here. Are directors of the RACQ, do they have financial interests in Transurban? I suspect that's probably the case. And this is sad, because, I got praise for the RACQ in terms of their roadside service. It's wonderful, but in terms of them standing up for motorists and motoring issues around congestion or around toll roads, etc., they're pathetic. And they're pathetic because, again, I suspect they've been bought by Transurban. You don't bite the hand that feeds you, do you? If you're getting lots of advertising money for your magazine from a company, are you going to criticize them?
Or we're still a bit of a backhander to make sure that you keep quiet. Well,
who knows?
Who would ever know?
Tell us, Jeff, how we plan to combat this. I'd noticed there's something coming up starting next week. If you could tell us a bit about what you guys have planned and what action you plan to take to stand up against toll giants.
I've been fighting this since 2012. I've done everything I can. I put out a newspaper, I did blogs, everything. And I got the idea a couple of weeks ago, well, why don't we call a toll strike? But before that, I decided to test out a process of avoiding the toll, or using the toll road and not paying the toll. I was told about this particular method by a couple of blokes who have done it themselves. And I thought, well, let's test it out before I advertise it, before I talk about, taking the risk to use a toll road and not paying and getting a huge fine or whatever. I'll test it out myself. So on the 6th of September, I got an invoice for allegedly driving on a toll road. I won't claim publicly that I drove on a toll road, because I don't want to do that. I'll just say that I got an invoice from them.
Mm-hmm.
So I got an invoice for allegedly driving on a toll road on the 6th of September. Now, what you do is you return this invoice unopened within 3 days. And according to contract law, if there is no written contract between you, you can claim that, sorry, I do not accept your contract. I don't consent to contract with you. I do not wish to be involved with you, and so therefore I'm not interested in paying for this service that you're offering. So I returned that back to them on the 6th of September. I got it. They returned it. They sent me another invoice about, I think, 3 or 4 weeks later. I returned that similarly, together with another letter, which was asking them for further particulars and proving, including providing proof that they had authority and over me, and that they have a copy of some kind of a contract between us. Had no response, and since then I've had no response. I've had no infringement notice from Spur. Nothing has happened to me, and that's been 4 months now. So I believe, my other two colleagues who have used this, they said they've done it dozens of times. So I thought, okay, well, why don't I share this method with other people and call a toll strike? Now, I'm just asking people to either not use, if you don't want to try this method, fine, but please don't use the tolls to any toll road from next week on, from the 18th to the 25th. Let's have a week of giving Transurban no money. Let's starve the bastards. Let's give them no money. Let's reduce as much income for them as possible. So don't use any toll roads next week. We're calling a toll strike from the 18th to the 25th. And if you want to try this system where you use the toll road, but you return any invoice, I provide instructions as to how to do that, because firstly, you'll have to make sure that you don't have an account with them, because that's a contract, isn't it? You know, and
so
you,
you've
got to close your account, you've got to get rid of the toll tag, etc. So some people may not wish to do that. But all we were after is getting people to participate, you know. Please just, even if you don't want to participate by not paying the toll, please simply don't use a toll road next week if you can. You know, and that will hopefully give a huge boost to us, you know, in terms of some attention, and hopefully it will cause the governments to start to change their mind. You know, I mean, I don't know how else we're going to do it. I mean, the only way I can think of to get rid of these tolls is to kick ALP, LNP and Greens out of power. You know, the Greens are even worse than the ALP and LNP. They want to introduce a congestion tax. So, you know, some people say, oh, well, the Greens, you know, no, they won't. You know, the Greens hate motorists. So, you know, even though I consider myself an environmentalist in many ways and lean towards, you know, some of the policies of caring for the planet, which I totally agree with, the Greens just have really pathetic policies in relation to motorists, you know.
Yeah, they're pretty much at the behest of sustainable development and UN policy, you know, which is dictated from
absolutely.
Other ways. But look, just on your the toll strike. sorry, I just drew a blank then. Now, this is... Take it or leave it, and I'll speak freely here. But in my humble opinion, I think it will work. You will have people doing it. People are going to participate. They'll avoid the tolls, all that sort of stuff. But I think for folks trying this sort of method, a good example of one of them working, in my opinion, was the national fuel strike, which was... pretty much started up by, you know, I think she was even a Logan woman, and she just got the shits with the high fuel prices, and she was whinging, and then, you know, before she knew it, she said, hey, we should just have a day where we just don't go in and buy fuel for the day, and it was, she had a lot of build up, there was a lot of, there was a fair bit of time before the actual strike happened. So a lot of people had a lot of notice. There was, you know, we're talking maybe like a month of getting this around. Everyone's saying, yep, fuel strike. It went viral. Even mass media was forced to cover it. I have a feeling, and this is my opinion, that we haven't got enough lead-in time with this. I sort of think you kind of got to give it a bit more notice, and you got to let it get build steam. You know, Andy, Ethan and I talked about this on one of our podcasts when we were talking about the Yellow Vest movement as well. And there were, I had someone on my friends list contact me and said, yeah, we're going to have a march in the city. And I was like, oh, yeah, cool. I said, oh, do you want us to cover it? Yeah, it sounds like a good thing to cover. And they're like, yep, no worries. I'll send you the details. And it was for like in 2 days' time. I reply back. I said, "This is not enough time. You're going to have no one going to this thing. You're going to stand there with about maybe 20 people looking like morons because you haven't built this up. Like you've got to promote it. I come from a sort of marketing and promotional background. That's my, you know, I used to do that professionally. But so I know you've got to hype things up. You've got to give people time to get on board. Everyone's busy. They don't want to just do things off the cuff. And I know this toll strike is something very fairly easy that people can do." But for massive impact, in my opinion, I think there should be a bit more leading time. I'm happy to promote it, and I certainly will promote it, Jeff, absolutely. And hence you being here today. And I want people to participate, absolutely. In my opinion, I would have had more leading time. That's just me though, mate.
This is the first one. I intend to have a series of rolling toll strikes throughout the year to keep the momentum happening.
Okay, awesome.
But I figured that, like you said, that, you know, people might go, oh, you know, but it's a funny time of year as well. People are away on holidays, etc. But I wanted to link in with, as you mentioned, the Yellow Vest movements, which the Yellow Vest movements, I think you're going to talk a bit about that as well. They're having a rally on the 19th, and I don't want to claim to be part of that because I'm not, but I thought it would be a good time to join together with other people who were protesting about similar things. And I mean, the main thing about the Yellow Vest movement that I'm aware of is that they're against the globalization and corporate governance, which is totally what the toll roads represent, isn't it? So I thought, well, if I time it to be a week and during that same period that the Yellow Vest protests are on, I think that would be, you know, something of value, you know, and it might attract more attention.
Yeah, okay. Oh, that's a fair call. And look, if you're going to try and bridge into it, that's probably a good way to do it. And like you said, if you're going to have more of these planned for the year and onwards, then that's awesome too. I think, yeah, obviously let me know and we'll spread the word as much as we can. I'm absolutely all for it. I use the Logan Motorway often, and you know, wherever I can, I try and use, you know, Johnson Road, or I'll go up Learoyd Road through Acacia Ridge instead. If I can go around it, I will. Sometimes time dictates otherwise, but and you know, a certain amount of traffic. There's a lot of road works happening along, you know, in my area right now. I'm literally like, you know, a few hundred meters away from all this works happening right now, but so sometimes I'm kind of forced to get on there just to get away from
it. And this is what they do. They force you to do that. But look, if anyone wants to try it, I've got on my website, which is no-tolls.org, I've got a link to a number of videos where I show you exactly what to do, and I can provide form letters for people to send, not only the no consent, no contract form letter, which is just a little short thing, but also a notice of, you know, providing further particulars and notice of non-consent. You know, it's a really useful thing, and I must thank Paul Kirchner and Mark Patelic, because they were the two guys who I learnt this from, and they, you know, I want to acknowledge that the ideas came from them. The thing is that that's not the only system that you can use. As you mentioned, I think before we started the program, Bob Jarvis has used a similar or another way of avoiding paying the toll based on the Constitution. You know?
Yeah, if I may, I might just bring that up now too,
go Jeff. For it. Yeah,
so go just for the folks listening, back on December 10th, 2014, so well, it was a while ago now, just over 4 years now, I published an article called Non-Participation Activism and How You Can Participate. So I'll just quickly read the first couple of paragraphs here for the folks, because it really is exactly what we're talking about here. So I'll go on to say, sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? But in fact, there are people all over the country winning small battles against the establishment by not participating in their corporate games. A few months ago, Queensland's Courier-Mail ran a story about a gentleman from the Sunshine Coast named Bob Jarvis. The story goes that Bob doesn't pay any tolls either for the Gateway Bridge or other motorway tolls. Why? Is it because he can't afford it? He is a pensioner after all. No, in fact, he's happy to pay it, with gold and silver coins at the point of charge, as stated in the Australian Constitution, Chapter 5, the States, Section 115, a state shall not coin money, nor make anything but gold and silver coin a legal tender in payment of debts. That's right, due to the switch in 2009 to the electronic RFID tag system, that's the tag in your car, folks, that beeps, motorists are no longer able to abide by constitutional law, and Bob is sticking to his guns. And you know what? He won his battle in September 2012. Queensland Motorways dropped its court case against Mr. Jarvis for his outstanding fines, even though a hearing date was listed, presumably because they know they'd lose. He no longer gets letters from them demanding payment either. He's now on the magic free list. So there's another example right there of sort of non-participation activism. So he's what we're saying is that, you know, although Bob was happy to pay, you know, he wanted to rock up to the toll booth with their little, either the person sitting there in the booth taking the coins, or the little, remember, everyone probably remembers the big cone thing you'd throw your money in out the window and probably miss half the time and have a line up behind you. But Bob was happy to do that. And then when he realized that he was no longer able to do that, he's like, well, if I can't pay, I'm just going to keep driving. You know, if I want to pay the toll right where the toll is. But obviously now, you know, Bob's sort of on your side of the fence now too, with the fact that, you know, we really shouldn't even be paying the tolls in the first place, from what I understand. Yeah. Is that correct?
But no one would object to paying a toll for a road to build a piece of infrastructure, provided that as soon as that was, you know, paid off, then it went back to free. You know, no one would object to that. And I'm not trying to say that we should not pay anything for any roads. Of course, we need to fund, you know, our infrastructure. Yeah. And things
get more expensive as time goes on.
Too. Yeah, of course. And I've got no objection to that. But what I do object to is the secret deals that go behind people's backs. Like you didn't know probably, you know, Anna Palaszczuk did this at the end of 2016, around Christmas time, so that nobody heard about it. There was no public consultation about it. It just went through. She just gave them an extra 32 years of tolling.
Yeah.
I
wanted to put one right on her chin for doing that.
Well, you know, she's supposed to be a Labor premier for Pete's sake. You know, you wouldn't be surprised if someone like Campbell Newman did it, would you? You know, because he wanted to sell off everybody thing.
Mm.
And certainly I think that if Campbell Newman had won the election, we'd have toll roads everywhere. Because, you know, how many toll roads did he introduce when he was Lord Mayor of Brisbane? But, you know, she's supposed to be a Labor Prime Minister. She's supposed to be for the workers. Come on, you know.
Yeah. Well,
there's no difference between Labor and Liberal now, is there? You know,
no, I've said that many times. It's two sides of the same coin. Yeah.
Laborials. I call them laborials.
And why isn't the opposition jumping up and down about this issue?
Because they get...
Why aren't the opposition in Parliament absolutely slamming Palaszczuk about this particular deal?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if they wanted to, they've got the fodder there to do it. Like that's ammo in the gun, ready to go.
Yeah.
But like Jeff said before, they're receiving money. Yeah, why would you bite the hand that feeds you?
Yeah, and Graham Quirk did the same kind of thing for the Brisbane City Council, and he's a LNP mayor, isn't he? You know.
Yeah,
it really blows you away, doesn't it?
So it's all.
Yeah,
it does absolutely the level of corruption, in federal, state.
Yep. There's only one way to get rid of these tolls, and that is to stop voting Labor, stop voting Liberal, stop voting Greens, start voting for Independents, start voting for No Tolls Party. You know, please, if people are interested in standing as candidates in your area, let me know. You know, we want candidates to stand up for these kind of things because we want to end this corruption. You know?
Yeah. I mean, let's. I mentioned before we started recording, folks, that I'm one of the moderators of a Facebook page called Link T Go Via eToll Complaints Brisbane, and this was started by a chap called Jamie Lai, who himself was getting the shits with these tolls and the companies, and he wanted to vent his frustrations, so he took to social media, and now he started this group on Facebook. And you know, I sort of got in touch with him because I also had some frustrations with that particular company a couple of years ago. And now I just wanted to, so anyone you can request to join, and we pretty much approve everyone. Well, I always have a look, and I Facebook stalk a few people, but I only do it because I really want to see who's interested in coming into this page. And yeah, if you've only just joined Facebook a couple of days ago, then you're probably not going to get in. Or if it says on your profile that you actually work for Transurban, no, I'm not going to let you get into this page either. But they've also tried, just so you know, Jeff.
Wow.
Yeah, literally. And I've even commented and said something to them. Just so you know, I've approved you, but I'd like to know why someone, a representative from Transurban, is here. And then they're gone. They don't respond and they leave the page, you know.
Well, it's so funny. One of my members posted the toll strike cartoon that I've got, which is a lovely cartoon done by Steve Hunter, you know.
Yeah, Steve Hunter.
And
good,
she posted it on the Transurban website, on the Transurban Facebook page.
That's fantastic. That's what people should be doing. They should be slamming these people. We should be posting on the Transurban page that this strike is, that the toll strike's coming up. Honestly, that's what people should be doing. And I'll be doing that myself. I'm going to do it tonight. I mean, fuck them. Jesus.
That'd be great.
And look, in full disclosure, I am actually a member of your party too, by the way, just so you know.
Right.
Yeah,
thanks,
I did sign up because I knew you got deregistered and you needed to get people back on. So I jumped on and got on straight away to help out.
Mate.
So. Look, I'll just wanted to read a few of these. We can probably read quite a few. Andy, have you got access to that page now? Did you get in?
Yeah.
You did? Okay,
Yeah,
cool.
I'm
So,
in. I'm looking at it now.
yeah, feel free to scroll back for a while if you want to and pick a couple out, but we might take turns here. So I'll read one first if you've got it up and you have one ready to go after I'm finished. But here's one, for example. So this is the kind of things that there's over 800 members on this page now. So, and if more people knew about it, I'm sure there'd be a lot more members. But so someone's posted this in the page. I got three letters saying my debt to Link T has been registered with Dun & Bradstreet for unpaid tolls. I paid D&B straight away, as that is the last place you want a black mark against your credit rating. Reactivated my linked account with a huge top up so I could access my account info, and bugging me if they didn't take my account into negative balance and did the double dip when I topped it up. So it turns out I paid D&B, Dun & Bradstreet, the outstanding amount. Then they have taken it once again. So they've taken it again once I topped up. All this happened over 2 weeks. How about a reasonable time to pay before reporting my information to a credit agency? My account would have been up to date if your website didn't crash every time I went to make a payment. Urgh, angry face, angry face, angry face. So there's
My
one of the
God.
complaints there. So that's minimal. Andy, have you got one ready to go?
Yeah. Is anyone else having any issues with video matching fees? I have received an email from Link T this afternoon stating I am $30 in the negative, where I should still be a few dollars in the positive. I purposely put enough money on my account to cover the last few days at work before my holidays, and even then, two of those days went unused, and yet somehow all the money is gone, and then I also owe $33. Each and every toll appears to have a 50-cent video matching fee, and for 4 trips a day, it starts to add up.
Wow, isn't that
I mean,
crazy?
these people can't be serious.
It seriously
The other
is.
thing I wanted to mention to Jeff too is, like, and it's mentioned a few like times in the thing there, is like a government organization like Spur is basically
State
like
Penalties Enforcement Registry.
That's it.
is basically acting as the
The debt collector.
like big stick. Is a debt collector, like a government police agency, is basically
Yeah,
what they
we
are.
break
Is
thumbs. Yeah.
basically under the in the payroll, free payroll, I would assume, for this private
Which
international
is
company. I mean,
totally,
like,
totally unlawful, you know.
Yep.
And do you
it's
know what?
absolutely unlawful.
And do you know what? There's a guy in Sydney called Harry Tsoulakis, and he has used that as a way of avoiding him paying toll. So here's another mechanism. So Harry, because he said that under the Constitution, the government should treat everyone the same, so he said that he's got a business and people owe him money. So therefore, because, you know, the government is acting as an enforcer for Transurban in Sydney, he wants them to act as a as an enforcer for debts, outstanding debts
To
collected
him.
for his business.
Wow.
And
Fair
they were
enough.
going to take him to court, but they immediately dropped it because, you know, he had had all these unpaid toll fines, and they dropped it because they didn't want it to go to court. So there's another way of, you know, avoiding tolls. If you've got a business, you can say, hey, look, you know, if you're going to take me to court, well, you know, I want you to act the same way as you act for Transurban. I've got all these
Yeah.
outstanding debters, you know.
Well, there you go.
It's incredible, isn't
It
it?
is.
It's
Let's go. Let's
such
go on and
blatant.
just enlighten the listeners too of a few more of the Link T bungles here. Let us read another one here. We'll read a couple of these because these are actually as sad and as annoying they are. They are quite amusing because all you can do is laugh at this company, really, because that's how much of a joke they are. Okay, so someone's put up a screenshot. How is my account low? Link T, your account is running low. Account alert. Account balance $108.24 in the positive. So that's apparently running low. So they're getting alerts on their phones from this app. Make sure you top up your account when you've got that much money sitting there. Andy, have you got another one ready to go?
Oh, here we go. I don't live in Brisbane, but had to drive there for some appointments over a few days. I went over the Gateway Bridge, and as soon as I got to my accommodation, I opened a linked account as it says to do. I had to travel several toll roads whilst in Brisbane. So today, 5 weeks later, I get a demand notice for the first toll with added administrative charges. Am I misreading their website?
Here's one for you. This gentleman's posted, well, for the first time, I actively avoided the toll at Logan Motorway. Travelled to Brisbane. Checked Google Maps before I left home. 1 hour and 50 minutes using the Logan Motorway. I ticked avoid tolls to see how much longer it would take. 1 hour and 50 minutes. I'm never using that motorway again. So it's the same. It was going to take them the exact same time to go a different route. There you go. There's another one there for you, folks.
What concerns me, Lee, is the fact that what happens to all this money? Do people get interest on the money that they put in these? You know, how much money does Transurban hold in these so-called toll accounts? Mm. It would have to be in the multi-millions.
Absolutely.
And so they've got access to all this money. And, you know, they don't give you any interest for the money they hold, do they? You know?
No, that's the thing. There's a lot of these.
Must be worth it.
Yeah, whenever you've got a system where – yeah, that's a good point, and I'll just elaborate on that too, Jeff. So wherever you've got a system in place of any business where you have to have funds in an account so that they can be withdrawn, mm-hmm. like using a toll, for example. Another example is – and I am actually on Patreon, but another example is Patreon. So, you know, people – members like myself can have a Patreon account where people can support what you're doing. They can, you know, fund you from as little as like a dollar a month or something, you know, and help you out. But you can't take any of those funds out to use unless they reach $100, right? WordPress also does this very same system with their Word Ads, which I'm involved in. So you can't access any of those funds gained from Word Ads as well, for an example, until you hit that $100 mark, and then you can get those funds. So imagine all of these Patreon and WordPress accounts that people have, thousands and thousands of them around the world, you know, hundreds of thousands of them even for websites all around the world and for people all around the world using Patreon. That's a lot of money that these people are holding in an account, mm. right? And you're right. I would assume that they are earning interest on this money that
Absolutely.
They're holding. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So what a fantastic business model, you know what I mean?
I know.
I mean, it's kind of genius when you think about it, really.
Oh, it's very clever.
And it's kind of why Transurban is pushing people onto it. You know, they want you to open this account, have this money sitting there.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So they can, at the end of every night when the bank rolls over, they've got a certain amount of interest they can gain from it, you know? So
Scott Carlton can increase his, you know, income to maybe 7.9 instead of $6.9 million a year.
Yeah, there you go. Here's another one for you folks. I just came across one of your videos. There you are. There's Jeff. I shared one of your videos with regards to those letters you were talking about. Sorry, Andy, you go while I'm searching.
Can I jump in quickly?
Yep.
I'm just noticing something that was new to me. Is there actually a toll ombudsman? Is there?
Yeah, but it's run and owned by Transurban.
Oh, what a shock.
See, that blows me away. I see a lot of people
serious?
Saying...
Isn't that hilarious?
Yeah. saying, contact the ombudsman, contact the ombudsman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, no, I'm pretty sure it's run by them.
You know,
this is too much.
No. This was discovered to be the case because people were phoning up the toll ombudsman, right, and not getting any anywhere. And Michael, I'm trying to remember his last name, but he... is an investigative journalist, and he phoned up and he found out that the Toll Ombudsman is funded, and the Toll Ombudsman website was funded by Transurban, and they had a postal address at Transurban's postal address. And so he did some investigation into this, and I think they've cleaned it up a little bit now, but it's still mostly still the same bloke, Michael someone, or I think sorry, don't know what his last name is. But anyway, isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that is. I've just had someone just come across one here. This lady's posted, I've been receiving invoices weekly since the beginning of July. This was back in August last year. I live 4 hours away in Bundaberg, and I have not been to Brisbane for 14 years. Sick of ringing them 1 to 2 times a week. The same bullshit every week. So I've just read someone's comment about contacting the toll ombudsman. I will contact them tomorrow. I've sent emails. I'm so over this company. There you go. So someone lives 4 hours away in Bundaberg in the northern part of Queensland, and they're getting toll charges from down here in Brisbane, and they haven't even been here for 14 years. Isn't that ridiculous?
God.
Yeah. So there's
it must be a similar number plate. Hey.
Well, that's what. Yeah, exactly. So they're doing video matching. So is this being done by some sort of computer algorithm that's trying to determine what the license plate looks like, or is this a human person who's enlarging this on a screen and going, "Yep, that's definitely a six and not a nine," or Like, no one knows. You know what I mean? Like, who knows who is doing this? And yet we're at the mercy of these people. So people who are using this system, you've got to check these invoices and accounts and things that they send, statements they send you, because who knows if you're going to have video matching fees, even though your beeper might beep, or maybe it won't beep or something. And it's literally mind-boggling. So folks, sorry, Andy, just quickly, there's so many more stories. This is nothing for the folks listening. This is literally nothing. I could sit here for over an hour or more just reading all of these things that people are going through with regards to this company. So enough is enough. It's got to stop. And I think Jeff's on the right bandwagon here about starting a strike. Just not comply. Non-compliance is the only way to deal with these absolute fucking vampires. This is ridiculous. Andy?
I come across this before, like with private companies. What gives a private company a right to tell a debtor, because they're late with their pay, that they're going to increase the actual amount owed? Like with my debtors within my company, if someone's a little bit late paying, I haven't got any rights to impose doubling down on the debt, late fees and things like that. People would laugh at you. What gives a private international company the right to legally, well, it's obviously not legal, but like what gives anyone the actual, authority to be able to do that? It's just absurd.
Yeah, I mean,
it's because they're a monopoly. They can do what they like.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Yeah.
And they're supported by the government because they pay off the politicians, basically. End of story, isn't it?
And then you've got these companies. So here's another one. So this lady's going, this is sort of ties into what you're saying here. This lady said, okay, so the latest saga in our life of go via LinkT, my son received a bill from Recoveries Corp for $851.44. When we went into his account on LinkT, this amount doesn't come up. We will ring today, but they probably won't talk to me. I'm suspicious it's a scam, blah, blah, blah. So, and someone's gone, basically commented, said they've basically sold your debt to another company for them to chase up, And then, of course, so then you go into your account and go via, and it hasn't got that, that amount sitting there saying that you owe it because they've sold the debt to someone else to recover. You know what I mean? So this is modus operandi here of this company.
This is something other people don't realize, is that when you sign up the contract to get an account with GoVia and get one of their tags, you have to, how they have all the terms and conditions that nobody ever reads. But one of those terms and conditions is that they have the right to give your details to third parties. So they're selling people's details to not only debt collectors if you don't pay your debt, but they can sell information about you to advertisers. So they're making heaps of money as well through use of your private information that you agreed when you signed up for a account with GoVia, with Link or whatever they call themselves now. You have agreed to that. So read the fine print in that agreement. This is why I say to people, close your GoVia account, close your Link account, chuck the turf, the toll road, turf the tag.
Yeah, turf the tag. That's a good slogan. You should be saying that. That's a good one. Good catchphrase to have. No, seriously, good catchphrase to have with that strike. Turf the tag. Everyone needs a good catchy saying or a catchy jingle, mate. So that's keep that one. Write that one down.
Toss the tag and turf the toll roads.
Hey, he's on a roll. Keep it going. Oh, nice. Well, there you go, folks. So that's Jeffrey Hodges there from the Civil Liberties, Consumer Rights and No Tolls Party. Look, there's like I said, we could go on all day about some of these things that people are saying with regards to this company. It is literally mind-blowing. The amount of, there's people stressing about the amount of debt they've got with this company. They're trying to work out payment systems and stuff.
It's over $1 billion. Queenslanders owe over a billion dollars.
In unpaid tolls. There you go. Well, you know what we need to do? We need to jack that shit up to make it fucking $10 billion. What are they going to do? Seriously. Seriously, they're not going to chase everyone up and fine everyone. It needs to be mass non-compliance, and this doesn't just go with the tolls, Lee. Folks. This can be used. This particular method can be used on so many different levels. Yeah, mate.
Yep.
Sorry, mate. They're never going to go broke. Like once that 512's paid off, that's it. They'd still be in a profit once they only had 50 cars a day.
Yeah, oh, they probably could
They got no costs.
Mate, they could have just EFT'd that 512 million on the day. You know what I mean?
Because they're paying Filipino workers, $2 an hour to do their work over there. If you try to phone up, you get some Filipino who earns $2 an hour or something.
Oh, mate, they're never going to go broke.
Yeah. I mean, they're also, here's the other thing too. They're also double dipping as well. So they'll now charge you a 0.5% surcharge on all credit card transactions as well. So if you're trying if you're trying to top up your account with your credit card, it's going to cost you even more.
And you can't pay in cash,
Yeah, there you go. It's unbelievable. And we really got to say no to the system and just stop complying. Just stop. They can't
join the toll strike.
Join the toll
go
strike.
Go to notolls.org.
There you go.
No-tolls.org. There's my little plug for the party.
All the links will be in the show notes for this episode, folks. So we'll have a link for the Facebook page for the toll strike. We'll have a link to Jeffrey's website as well. And look, you can contact Jeff. He gives his phone number out if you want to have a chat or ask questions. He's very easily contactable.
Happy to.
Look, we need more folks like Jeff standing up for our rights. We're very happy to promote this sort of thing, mate. There's not a lot of systems out there that work, but it sounds like you've got quite a few ideas, and it's good to see. Andy, have you any final thoughts or questions at all to wrap up the show, mate?
I think we've covered it. It's just we covered federal corruption last night, and now we're covering deep state-level corruption. So I think we might have a go at the councils tomorrow night. We'll just, work our way right down to the third layer.
we'll be picking on our neighbours over the fence before we know it. All right, sounds like a good plan, mate. Jeff, we'd love to have you back on some other time too, especially to talk about this. Maybe we can do a follow-up podcast and discuss how the toll strike was effective, or any other events coming up, the next strike and so forth. And we'll definitely help to promote these events through the podcast and through the websites as well. So thanks again, Jeff, for coming on to the General Knowledge Podcast, mate.
You're welcome. Welcome. Yeah. And to end off, I'd end with a quote from Martin Luther King. He said, "When laws become unjust, we have a moral responsibility to disobey them."
Absolutely. So, couldn't agree more.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Thanks again, mate. And it was great to have you.
Bye. Thanks.